1 Kings chapter 18, verse 17. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is this you, you troubler of Israel?" Elijah said back to Ahab, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and you have followed the Baals." Welcome to the program God and Country, a program that looks at current issues in the light of Scripture. Today's program is about the blame game in politics. Disaster takes place, a war, an economic downturn, and the one party blames the policies of the other party. We hear it all the time. We despise it. Everyone knows that it's childish, but it never stops. When an event takes place, we all wait to see which news commentator or which politician is going to be the first to blame the opposition. And the media, which thrives on controversy, is roving all around the country with microphones to catch the sound bites of the politicians blaming the other party for the disaster. When the economy collapsed in 2008, the left blamed the policies of the Bush administration. Yet the subprime mortgage crisis was the child of the Democrats and Barney Frank, head of the House Ways and Means Committee, who pushed for banks to make risky loans so that more families could enjoy the windfall profits of the housing boom. The Democrats blamed the BP oil disaster on big business and the Republican Party. The Republicans blamed the Democrats for making such restrictive drilling policies that the oil companies had to drill in deep water to get the oil. Hurricane Katrina was blamed on George Bush. It's rather difficult to blame acts of God on the president, but critics find ways to do it. The blame went to the Bush administration's failure to respond to the disaster quick enough to satisfy the critics. Come to find out that it was the Democratic Party in charge of New Orleans for these many years that failed to repair the levees. After 9/11, Congress created the 9/11 Commission to find out who was at fault. Was it the Bush administration or was it the Clinton administration? The worst part of the blame game is the calling for these congressional committees every time there is a national disaster. It's nothing more than a way for these political parties to keep alive the blaming of the other party under the show of official fact-finding. Last month, to the shock of the entire nation, Democratic Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords of Arizona was shot by a crazed gunman. Federal Judge John Roll was killed along with five other innocent people. This was a terrible evil perpetrated by a 22-year-old man named Jared Loughner, a man who was mentally unstable, a drug user, a man filled with pride and hatred toward God and society. But immediately there were voices blaming Republicans, the Tea Party, conservative talk radio, and Sarah Palin, who campaigned for Giffords' opponent in Arizona. Paul Krugman, writing in the New York Times, blames the shooting on the rhetoric of Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh because these critics of the left create a climate of hate. In response to the Arizona shooting, the governor of Rhode Island, Lincoln Chafee, banned state employees from listening to talk radio, telling reporters he had been a victim of rhetorical violence himself. The Arizona sheriff in charge of the case, Clarence Dupnik, who was involved in Democratic politics, decided to make some political statements about the shooting, blaming the vitriolic rhetoric that we hear day in and day out from people in the radio business and some people in the TV business. Michael Daly of the New York Daily News wrote that because of the shootings, blood is on Sarah Palin's hands. The blame game in politics is nothing new. In 1835, President Andrew Jackson had an attempt on his life. Jackson claimed that this would-be assassin was part of his political opposition. The facts came out that the man had no political motives. He was simply insane. Just like John Hinckley, who shot President Ronald Reagan, was a mentally troubled loner looking for attention. In 1963, when John F. Kennedy was assassinated by Lee Harvey Oswald, Democratic aides immediately claimed that Oswald was a conservative right-wing activist and that the right had created a climate of hatred in Texas that caused Oswald to shoot the president. The headlines claimed the assassination was over Texas's hatred of JFK. Dan Rather, a young reporter at the time, heard a rumor that some Dallas school children cheered when they heard the news of Kennedy's death. The rumor wasn't true, but without checking it out, Dan Rather ran the story anyway. But when it became known that Lee Harvey Oswald was a communist, the left found it could not blame the Republicans with the assassination of Kennedy. The Warren Commission reported that Oswald had an extreme dislike for the right wing, just like Jared Loughner hated George Bush. But notice how ready some politicians are to blame their opponents, how they assume the assassins came from the right because in their worldview, evil comes from the right, not from the left. Like Mayor Bloomberg immediately jumped to the conclusion that the Times Square bomber was just a Tea Party activist who didn't like universal health care. As to be expected, it was discovered that the Times Square bomber was an Islamist. Or the Fort Hood gunman who killed 13 and yelled, "Allahu Akbar," meaning Allah is great. And the media said, let's not jump to conclusions about him being a Muslim terrorist. Here is the theology behind the blame game, and that's what we want to look at today. God has created this universe to operate upon his righteous laws. Satan has created an alternative reality, a lie, where God should not be God and God's laws ought not to be obeyed. Satan has many people on his side in various degrees. And in order to sell his lie, Satan has to claim that the ways of Satan will produce better outcomes. But the problem is that when one lives contrary to the God-given laws of the universe, disaster ensues. Crime rates soar, education scores drop, wealth and productivity decrease. Now, there's a lag between sin and the fruit of sin, but the fruit of sin will eventually surface. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 29. Because they hate knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would not accept my counsel, they spurned all my reproof, so they shall eat the fruit of their own ways and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill him, and the complacencies of fools will destroy them. Proverbs 22:8. He who sows iniquity will reap vanity, and the rod of his fury will perish. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 19. For your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, so every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. And Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Notice in all of these verses, Paul mentions the deception factor. People who are bent on sin refuse to admit that their sin will produce bad consequences. They want to sin, and they want to believe Satan's false worldview. So they convince themselves that violating the law and the plan of God will result in good. Now, of course, once the bad consequences start to mount up, it's not as if the devil is going to say, oh, oops, I guess we've made a mistake. We better return to following the laws of our Creator God. Of course not. The devil is going to be like the Grinch who was caught with the presents all gone and the stolen Christmas tree in his hand. That old Grinch was so smart and so slick, he thought up a lie and he thought it up quick. Satan needs to keep his lie going for as long as he can. And to do this, he finds someone else to blame for the consequences of sin. Who and what would that be? Obviously, God and God's people. His kingdom is bent on creating a secular society in America where the Bible is not allowed in government schools, where there is abortion and gay marriage and sexual liberation. And of course, this departure from God and God's laws has created in America increases in crime and violence and chaos in the public schools, academic decline, broken marriages, drug use, greed, indifference, rebellion. This is what happens when a people forsake God. But who will the left blame when the chickens come home to roost? Certainly not their secular policies. Their propaganda is that their secular vision for America will result in a better America. They are working to establish a belief that their ideology is the right ideology, which will make the world a better place. In the biblical text I began this program with, 1 Kings 18, King Ahab blames God's prophet Elijah for famine in the land. Was Ahab lying? Yes. Did he know he was telling a lie? No, he probably convinced himself that Baal worship was the liberating wave of the future. But Elijah confidently responds back to Ahab. I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have, because you have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you have followed the Baals. Who is the troubler of America? Is it coming from those who follow the morals of Jehovah? Or is it coming from those who follow the immorality and the ideology of pluralistic Baal worship? Over the last 3,000 years, the debate has not changed. When southern Israel finally fell to the invading Babylonians, you would think the citizens would have finally admitted that God was right, that the terms of God's covenant with Israel were true. It is evil and bitter to forsake the Lord your God. But instead, we read one of the most pathetic and shocking passages in the Old Testament. In Jeremiah 44, Jeremiah tells the people, because of the evil of your deeds, because of the abominations which you have committed, thus your land has become a ruin, an object of horror and curse without inhabitant as it is this day. But the people had the audacity to say back to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 44:18, the reason why this disaster has come upon us is that we were not sacrificing enough to our false idols. The disaster has come upon us because of Jehovah worship. And with that blaming of God, and with that failure to recognize their sin, God sent his final wrath on Israel and sent all of those left in the land to die in Egypt. As God said in the old covenant, if you forsake my law, I will send you back to Egypt where you came from. If America collapses someday, be sure that there will be those who will blame God, his ways, and his people right to the very end. And I would not be surprised that in the day that the devil himself is thrown into the lake of fire, that the devil will still be blaming God and claiming that the devil's ways would have been the better way if he had only more power and more time. And his followers will still believe in him, because evil and rebellion always holds on to justifications. You know, as I think about this whole blame game, I think about the early Christians in Rome. In July of AD 64, a fire broke out in the Roman market and set most of Rome on fire. Nero, who was the emperor at this time, was despised by the people, so the people blamed Nero himself, that Nero wanted to clean out the slums. So the rumor was that as Rome burned, Nero was playing the fiddle. Nero, to take the heat off of himself, blamed it on the Christians. The Roman historian Tacitus writes, "But all human efforts, all the lavish gifts of the emperor, and the propitiation of the gods did not banish the sinister belief that the fire was the result of an order by Nero. Consequently, to get rid of the report, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most awful tortures on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians, by the populace." And history records that hundreds of Christians were rounded up and martyred. Nero covered Christians in tar, put them on poles, and lit them on fire. Christians were thrown to the wild beasts in the arena. Tertullian, an early church pastor, wrote in AD 190 how the Romans blamed all of their problems on the Christians. Tertullian wrote, "If the Tiber rises, if the Nile doesn't rise, if the heavens give no rain, if there's an earthquake, famine, or pestilence, straightway the cry is, Christians to the lions." You see, evil always blames the right. Yet the fruit of sin needs to be laid at the feet of the sinner, the one who practices sin, or the one who preaches the ideology of sin. Now, who is Jared Lochner? What was on his heart? Was it Christ, the Bible, traditional morality? It's come out that Lochner was an atheist, not just any atheist. He was a committed nihilist. It is the philosophy of the secular German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche. Since there is no God and no absolute law, and since everything is an accident of evolution, therefore nothing has absolute meaning. And the best we can hope for is finding pleasure in a meaningless existence. Nihilism is the logical extension of secular material atheism. It is the foundational philosophy of fascism, communism, and the philosophical roots of secular liberalism. Lochner burned the American flag. He despised the fact that "In God We Trust" is on our currency. He was involved in drug use and the occult. Was he mentally disturbed? Absolutely. But when a person can't think right, whether he does good or evil with his handicap is determined by the disposition of his heart. Would you rather have a mentally troubled person following the teachings of Jesus, love your enemies, or the teachings of Friedrich Nietzsche? The old illustration is so true. If you're walking down a dark alley and you see a half dozen men coming toward you, does it make any difference whether the gang has just come from a Bible study or has just come from a bar? Jared Lochner was the product of secular humanism. He was one of the left's own disciples. And the devil can make many Lochners with the valueless music and entertainment and education put out by the ungodly. You know, I think of Mark David Chapman, who murdered John Lennon. Chapman's favorite band was the Beatles. Chapman followed Lennon religiously. Lennon promoted drug use in his music, and Chapman used drugs. Chapman said that Lennon sung in his song Imagine, "Imagine there is no God, imagine no possessions, it's easy if you try." And Chapman despised Lennon because there Lennon was with millions of dollars and yachts and farms and country estates, laughing at people like me who had believed the lies and bought the records and built a big part of their lives around his music, unquote. John Lennon also sung the song "Happiness is a Warm Gun." I believe the evidence is pretty conclusive that John Lennon was murdered by one of his most loyal disciples. Lennon himself taught Chapman well, even though Lennon had no idea that his ideology led to evil. The wages of sin is death. What you sow, you reap. And sadly, the ungodly have nobody to blame but themselves. But here's another trick that the devil has in the blame game. If blaming the right can't get any traction, then claim that neither the right or the left is to blame. You know, we get so tired of the blame game that we don't want to play the game as the left. Every time there's a disaster, we shouldn't stoop to blaming the Democratic Party or liberal policy. And there's some truth to that. The Christian community, conservatives, should not seek to fabricate some connection without real proof. And generally, the conservative right is careful not to do this. I heard one moderate commentator the other day take the blame no one position, saying that the Phoenix shooter was apolitical. Neither the left or the right can use him to score points against their opponent. Well, that sounds well and good, but is it true? Jared Lochner was on the political left. Lee Harvey Oswald was on the political left. John Wilkes Booth was on the political left. The people who do evil in our society have one thing in common. They are unprincipled men who do not believe in or follow the word of God. Wagner was not a product of the religious right. He was a product of the secular left. And those who say no blame should be laid at anyone's feet would have Elijah say to Ahab, "No, Ahab, I'm not the troubler of Israel. Neither are you the troubler of Israel, Ahab. Bad things just happen. Let's just reserve any judgment and get along. The number one value is to be civil and to withhold criticism." But that is not the pattern given to us in the Old Testament prophets, who clearly saw that it was their responsibility to warn the nation of the fruit of sin. Nor is that the pattern of Jesus, who blamed the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Nor was it the pattern of the Apostle Paul, who continually pointed out the error of wrong ideology. The answer is not neutrality in judgment. The answer is to judge righteous judgment. The devil blames God for the disasters that the devil creates. But if the devil can't sell that lie, he at least tries to get people not to blame him or his crowd. He at least tries to make the righteous feel guilty for blaming the devil, the devil's people, and the devil's policies. If Satan doesn't win by blaming the right, he wins by getting the right not to blame the left. But laying the blame is necessary. If it's done in wisdom and out of love, we need to judge righteous judgment. And this blame game is only going to get worse because our nation is reaping more and more of the evil policies and ideologies we have sowed. And the people in our society are becoming less and less principled and more ungodly. And the secular left will find themselves in a desperate attempt to try to explain the breakdown in society. Their excuses, their lies, their shifting of the blame on traditional morality will only grow worse. But the leaders of our nation better fix the blame appropriately, because God sees and God judges. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 15, "He who justifies the wicked and he who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord." Leaders better get it right who they blame. And let me conclude by saying this blame game is more than just Democrats and Republicans trying to score media points for their side. This is a battle for the hearts and the souls of men. As Elijah said on Mount Carmel, who is God, Baal or Jehovah God? Which way is the good way? Who has the right to rule the universe, Satan or God? This is the decision of the ages, and it's all contingent upon deciding who is in the right and who is in the wrong. This has been God and Country Radio. Our website is godandcountryradio.org. There you can listen to this program again or check out our past programs. CDs are available by emailing us or by calling us at 732-583-9286. This radio program is an outreach ministry of Harbor Bible Church in Central New Jersey. When folks hear about this program, they often think this program is coming out of a large mega church. On the contrary, we're just a handful of families struggling to keep our church and families going. God's strength is made perfect in weakness. I tell folks all the time, we don't have the large facilities, the programs, the money, but we have Jesus and his truth. And the truth of Jesus can turn the whole world right side up. Remember, you and Jesus make the majority. And God specializes in doing great things with those who are weak and powerless. We appreciate any support you can send our way. All donations go to cover the cost of airtime. We want to be here to be a voice of truth in these last days. Again, our contact information is godandcountryradio.org, 732-583-9286. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we confess your goodness and mercy. May your people always be clear in understanding who is to blame for the trouble in Israel. Give us confidence and boldness in defending your name before this confused world. Bring many people into your kingdom. For the sake of Jesus, our Savior, we ask. Amen.